So if I was to tell you a month or two ago that we would be in a position where not only were things being closed and isolated abroad in other countries, total areas were being quarantined, big cities and travel to and from those places were gonna be halted, you would say, wow, that's pretty crazy, but it's not gonna happen here. Well, here we are. I was watching Wednesday night, I was sitting there watching a hockey game, and all of a sudden I started seeing on Twitter that, well, announcements to be coming. Next thing I know that the NBA, a multi-billion-dollar machine, is suspending all play because one of their players had tested positive for this virus. Then after that, each league said a statement to come. So in the next day, not only did we hear of all sports being canceled, because they'd already contemplated playing in arenas that were empty. March Madness, we're in March, right? What do we usually think of in this area especially? Is the college basketball tournament. Many times it was played right here in Charlotte, right? The NCAA said no. First they started canceling the individual conference tournaments, which was pretty big in itself, but then they came out and really dropped the bomb, and they said no tournament. And then golf said they were right in the middle of one of their biggest tournaments down in Jacksonville, and they canceled the rest of the tournament. And they said, and then they even took it a step further. They said the Masters will not be played at the given date. So you see where all this is going, and yet we're sitting at home looking around, and we're seeing, well, gosh, you look good. You look fine. Everybody at work is business as usual. You go out to the restaurant, business as usual. And then you read about now travel is banned to all of Europe. And you start saying, whoa. And then you hear in the news that cruise lines have suspended operations. And you start wondering, what in the world is going on in all this chaos? Why is this happening? Is it possible? It seems so surreal. I remember when I said that I thought that it was really ironic, but I guess with God, nothing is ironic, that today's lectionary had us in Romans chapter 5. And as I read those first five verses of Romans 5, I hope you could hear what was going on and try to make sense through Scripture of how God is speaking to us today. You know, today has been called the National Day of Prayer. Well, in this society in which we live, people say, I don't need your prayers. I want to see action. Really? You don't need my prayers? What do my prayers cost you? I'll take yours. How do you respond to that? Well, here's what we know, okay? So Paul lays it out exactly right here in the first five verses of Romans of why Christians are set apart, why we're holy, and why what we believe is real. So he starts it out by saying, he says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith. So it takes faith to be where we're at. You cannot take the next step without faith. Sometimes we don't recognize it because it's just like so natural to us. But there are definitely times, as in Peter had to do on the boat, remember when Jesus was out in the water, it took faith for Peter to step out onto the water to come where Jesus was. So it takes faith. So what does that faith do for us? What does that faith do for us? It says, through him, So we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is it we really want in our hearts? Do we want to be anxious? No, Paul says in Philippians, don't be anxious about anything, right? But here he says, what we're really looking for is peace. Because isn't it a lot easier to look at things through a peaceful heart and mind than it is through an anxious, defensive body and mind? We want, we crave that peace. And because of our faith in Christ, we're given that peace from Him. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, it comes from Jesus. Remember in John 17, He says, "My peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. Fear not, let not your hearts be troubled." Let not your hearts be troubled. So, how does this work? You sit there saying, well, gosh, that's easy to say, but gosh, it doesn't help me now. It doesn't. So, through Him, we have also, okay, because of this faith and this belief we have in Jesus, the Son of God, who died for our sins, because of this, through Him, we have also obtained access by our faith. Here again, it takes faith to take this step. You cannot do it with faith. Now, how much faith does it take? That's a good question, isn't it? The parable of the mustard seed, right? The faith of a mustard seed. Well, how big is a mustard seed? It's not very big. I probably couldn't see it if I didn't have glasses on. It's very small. So we're sitting there thinking, well, gosh, we got to have the faith of an enormous of Saint Mother Teresa, or the faith of, picture somebody. No, you just need to have faith in Jesus that what He says is true. So we rejoice. So obtained by faith into this grace, and boy, that's the big one. So we're standing through our faith in Christ on grace. Boy, does the world need to see that today. Does it ever need to see that, right? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoice. In other words, we're so happy, filled with joy, that we give it back to those around us. We don't walk around as if our world has ended. We don't walk around as if the world is coming to an end. No, we know that whatever happens, because of God's grace and what Jesus Christ did for us, we're at peace. We're at peace. We're not thinking about the things we don't have, because what we do have is greater by far than anything that we feel like we have, that we don't have. Does that make sense? I'll see if I can clarify that. In hope of the glory, not only that, but we rejoice. Okay, here's the hard one right here. Here's the one we don't like. We rejoice in our good times. We do. We rejoice when we see a little baby. We rejoice in our sufferings. James takes it and says, consider times of trial with joy. Who in the world wants to do that? How do we rejoice in our sufferings? It's a hard one to explain. Unless you've been there. Unless you have absolutely been at rock bottom. You can't possibly understand how it was at that time. It's at that time of your lowest when you feel closest to God Himself. I may have told you before, but back during the initial Afghan war, there was a group of missionaries that were captured, that were rescued, and they were brought back. But through that time, they had to go through a period of transition. You know, you can't, if somebody's been in captivity for a long time, you can't just take them and put them back into their old life, because it's a difficult transition. So while they were in this was a group of, I forget how many, five or six missionaries. And while they were over in Afghanistan, and they were isolated, they were tortured, they were separated, they were brought together, they were kept in darkness, they were denied food. All these things that we take for granted, that we feel like we have to have, and yet when they were sitting there debriefing to a person, they all said they would go back. And the people looked at them like, are you crazy? You're free. Why would you go back in that situation? You know what their answer was? Everyone said the same answer. They said, because it was at that time I had never felt closer to God than when I was at that moment. Never. Powerful stuff. So how does that suffering work? So we know that when we rejoice in our suffering, so we're in this, but those of us who are Christians who suffer are never suffering alone. Never. When something is taken away from you, whether it's a family member or somebody you love or some tragic event, somebody you know that is literally going through hell with their health and their situation, and you hurt for them, you are not suffering alone, because Jesus is right there with you. And sometimes Jesus is there with you because the body of Christ who represents him is there with you. Because your church member, your sister, your brother is right there with you. That's Christ-like right there. So we know that in that suffering produces endurance. So if I was to, so one another thing that was canceled was the Boston Marathon. Did you see that? Well, it was postponed until September, right? So if I was to walk in here and tell you guys, hey, guess what? I'm running the Boston Marathon. First of all, my wife would have a heart attack and she'd say, you're crazy. And you guys would look at me and say, he's not serious. And I'd say, well, why? You'd say, well, you can't just go run a marathon, especially me. You got to train. You got to practice. You got to condition your body for that endurance, right? You got to condition your body to go to that next level, to get through that pain and that suffering of your body craving more, right? You have to get through it so that you can reach that level to run that marathon. That is what builds the endurance, that's what builds the confidence and the faith to know that you can get through it because you've done it already. Do you see how that happens with your faith? It's the same thing. It's, you go into the surgery, you have faith that you're going to come out on the other side because you know that in the past that's what's happened. You know it, right? So the endurance, that endurance is critical, especially when you're dealing with situations like we're dealing today. Because the world is going and falling into chaos. For crying out loud, I was in Harris Theater last night, and there wasn't, you couldn't even find one square of toilet paper. And you saw the pictures of people at Costco. They thought it was Black Friday. In 2 hours, literally, it's all sent. Hannah said they sold out of all Bath & Body Works, got boxes of hand sanitizer. They sold out in 2 hours. And here we are, a week or two into this. It's that endurance of knowing that we live not because of ourselves, we live because he lived for us. That's why. That's what Paul's talking about here. He said, and endurance produces character. Now there's something that's lacking in this, is it not? Character. What is character? Is it Mickey Mouse? Well, he's a character, one of my favorites. No? Character is what we display on an everyday basis, especially when it's tough, when we're suffering, when those around us are in chaos. What is our character leading us to do? Well, we know that we're standing firm on the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So our character should be what? Impeccable. And character, okay, here you see the progress. So now character produces hope. Hope. Does the world not need hope today? Hope is not found in your checkbook. Hope is not found in the accolades that you receive. Hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get that, you're able, so you can even walk this back the other way, because then you know that that when you're enduring something, there's always hope. You know that, right? So you know, why do you know that? Because I have faith in what God tells me, and I also have faith in what I've seen and what I've done. It all works together, especially in these difficult, uncertain times. And hope does not put us to shame. But here's the key right here. Here's the key. Because God's love, whose love is it? Is it my love? No. God's love. And let me tell you this. This is important. And Billy Graham used to always say in his big sermons, he said, I'm here to tell you that God loves you. Did he not say that every time? Because that was his message, because that is the message of truth. That's the truth. That's of the truth that Jesus was telling the woman at the well. God loves you, even though you're a Samaritan. God loves you. So God has poured this love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So the question I have for you today, what are you doing with that love that God's poured in your heart? How do the rest of the people see that? How do they know that you're a Christian? Are you set apart? Are you holy? You are. But how do we use that love that he's put in our hearts? That's the key. And that's the key to helping those people who are anxious. That's the key to helping the people who don't believe. Because they can look at you and say, you're different. Why is this stuff not bothering you? Like, be honest with them. Say, look, yeah, it does scare me because I don't know. It's serious stuff. But I do know, what I do know is God loves me. God loves you, and so do I. Amen? Amen.